Watkin-Tench's 1788, edited and introduced by Tim Flannery, and read by Grant Cartwright. The departure of the first fleet of ships for Europe on the 14th of July 1788 had been long impatiently expected, and had filled us with anxiety to communicate to our friends an account of our situation, describing the progress of improvement and the probability of success or failure in our enterprise. That men should judge very oppositely on so doubtful and precarious an event will hardly surprise. Such relations could contain little besides the sanguineness of hope and the enumeration of hardships and difficulties which former accounts had not led us to expect. Since our disembarkation in the preceding January, the efforts of everyone had been unremittingly exerted to deposit the public stores in a state of shelter and security and to erect habitations for ourselves. We were eager to escape from tents where a fold of canvas only interposed to check the vertic beams of the sun in summer and the chilling blasts of the south in winter. A marquee pitched in our finest season on an English lawn, or a transient view of those gay camps near the metropolis which so many remember, naturally draws forth careless and unmeaning exclamations of rapture which attach ideas of pleasure only to this part of a soldier's life. But an encampment amidst the rocks and wilds of a new country, aggravated by the miseries of bad diet and incessant toil, will find few admirers. Nor were our exertions less unsuccessful than they were laborious. Under wretched covers of thatch lay our provisions and stores, exposed to destruction from every flash of lightning and every spark of fire. A few of the convicts had got into huts, but almost all the officers and the whole of the soldiery were still in tents. In such a situation where knowledge of the mechanic arts afforded the surest recommendation to notice, it may be easily conceived that attention to the parade duty of the troops gradually diminished. Now were to be seen officers and soldiers, not trailing the puissant pike, but felling the ponderous gum tree or breaking the stubborn clod. And though the broad falchion did not in a ploughshare end, the possession of a spade, a wheelbarrow, or a dunghill was more coveted than the most refulgent arms in which heroism ever dazzled. Those hours, which in other countries are devoted to martial acquirements, were here consumed in the labours of the sawpit, the forge, and the quarry.